a truly happy new year, is it not? Amen. Yes? All these dry bones that came from 2016, I think you're revived and alive, would I say? Yes? Amen. We're anticipating great and wonderful, awesome things this coming year, and God is in control, and God is good, and God is our Savior, our Lord, and our provider, our helper, and our miracle worker. And we bow to no other name but the name of Jesus. And so because of that, we bow at him and his allegiance we have to him. And every bit of guidance we receive comes from the Holy Spirit. And we're going to listen and watch and see what God does and unfolds in all of us in this coming year. Yes, so as we embark upon this year, I was thinking about how do we set the year off. You know, many of you were here New Year's Eve. And some of us were kind of worn out by 2016. And some of you are still, we heard this morning that maybe somebody's still carrying some burdens from 2016. That might have been the spirit that was speaking to someone this morning. So I want you to just lay it all down today, right? We're going to leave all that stuff behind, right? One thing we do, we forget the past. And we stretch forward to the upward call of Jesus Christ. We stretch forward. So we forget all that, right? We learn from it, you know, we can make it a value to us, whatever we learned last year of what not to do this year, right? We're going to not repeat some things, right? We're going to do some changing, aren't we? Because we're the church of spiritual enrichment and growth, right? Absolutely. So we grow through change. And we see even this morning how little Noah, he was looking for the change for change. And, you know, the change for change, in case you don't know what that is, that's an opportunity for you to bring your extra change. That maybe you keep it in your dashboard or under your seats, wherever the heck you keep your change. And some of you that still use cash for paying for things and you get change back. But you can sometimes bring it here to the church, and we put it to good use in the church. We give you the opportunity to give to us, and the children love to take it, especially Noah. He'll kind of go around and ask you for your change, right? Right? And see, I, as your pastor, I'm asking you for your change. I'm looking to see your change this year. I see miraculous changes in people all the time. So, but the interesting thing, if you watch this morning, we moved the change for change jar, which was beautifully decorated by our children, and we had it here right beside the altar, and we decided to put it over to the side instead. And so Noah, as you notice, as people often do, and you see it even little children, we don't really go with change very easily, do we? Where did he look for that change for change jar? The same place it always was. And he's like looking like, what did they do with it? Where did it go? Where could it be? And he's like, huh, huh, huh. And you could kind of watch him. If you could see him in the front, I was kind of watching. He was like lost big time, right? What am I going to do now? And that, you know, and so it took somebody else to point out, it's over there now, right? We had to show the way over there, right? And see, that shows you through the power of why we are together as a church, very often as people, why we have believers together. Sometimes some of you are heading in the wrong direction. You ever notice that? And right. Or maybe God is changing something in your life and asking you to be different and to do things differently in this coming year. And some of you gravitate where? Back to the same place, right? You go looking like, where did God put that, right? And sometimes it takes other people and or the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Here's the way. There it is. I put it over here. Here's your change that's coming. Right? And God is going to guide us through. So the good thing for you to remember is you're not alone in this life, ever. Right? You always have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. God's breath is within you. That gives you life. It also gives you guidance and direction when you listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? That's how we find our way. The book of Isaiah says, walk in the way. I'm going to show you the way to walk in it. I'm going to speak to you and say, go this way. Not that way. So we listen to the Holy Spirit, right? And sometimes it does take another person to say, this way. That's why we have a body of believers, of hopefully people that as we mature in our spiritual walk, we can help guide and direct you. That's the purpose of shepherds sometimes. When we see you kind of heading for the cliff, you'd want us to kind of step in and say, you don't want to probably go that way. Back. Come over here. Come here, little sheepy. Come on. Sometimes that's what it takes, right? So that's the beauty of what God is about. So as we're looking into next year, I want to give us some empowerment, because I think the Bible is very clear on how to live a strong Christian, powerful life, right? And how we can, looking into 2016, God has it all mapped out for us. Everything that occurs, somehow it's in God's plan. And also, God will see us through it all, right? We are going to change and grow, right? Yes. And in that process, God is going to help us with that. And so, you know, Paul was able, through the book of Ephesians, Paul was able, through scripture, to, as we read it today, to teach the Ephesians how to walk a Christian, powerful life. And that's what I want us to do. As we embark upon this year, I was thinking about, well, do I have people, like, think about what they want for next year and how God's going to guide them? But the Spirit of God was like, no. First of all and foremost, now that the dry bones have risen up, we gotta get them dressed right. We gotta dress them for success. See? Because we want to go through this life dressed for success, don't we? Right? Spiritual success I'm speaking of, right? Because everything is spiritual in nature. And so I looked at Ephesians, and in chapter 6, I want to give you a backdrop of this. Paul was in jail at the time, just so you know. So he was writing to the church in Ephesus, and he was telling them how to live an awesome, powerful life in Christ, right? And he uses this analogy. So I'm gonna go to Ephesians chapter 6, because I think this is important for us to understand how we can continue to be powerful and empowered, and also to be victorious as 2016 comes upon us, right? Because it may not be an easy walk, just so you know. Just kind of forewarning. Some things might be more difficult, because change can be difficult, right? Especially when they move your change jar on you, right? All right. So Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. So here's the first step. He's telling us that there are going to be times, because we have an adversary, the devil, there are going to be times when we need to stand up against some things that are in this world, and or what our adversary, someone coming or something coming against us, is going to try to defeat us, right? So he says to us all, and to the Ephesians, it says, put on all of God's armor. So this is one of those cases where you don't get to pick and choose which one you get to wear, okay? And I think it's kind of appropriate that it's so cold this morning that we had to dress a little differently this morning, didn't we? See how God put props on you? I just love God. He's just, like, amazing. Because ordinarily, like, you just come in, like, your shirt and your blouse or whatever it might be, and your pants, right? And there you are in church, right? There you are. But say that's not all you need to wear. When things get a little chilly and or go on in a different way, we need to change what we're wearing, right? Appropriately. So first and foremost, this is why he says put on all the armor of God, okay? All right. And the reason we do that is so that we are not going to fall prey to the strategies, because there's going to be some strategy out there of the enemy trying to stop us from changing and growing, right? All right. Verse 12, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. So that's talking about Satan and all of his minions. Verse 13. So here's what we have to do. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So we may well go into battle, right? I think we have battles every day, if we're all right. We sometimes battle with our own mind. Our mind battles with us. Or we battle situations in our life. We battle things that are going on in the world. There's all kinds of things at one time or another we're fighting against, right? And we're sometimes fighting against those spiritual things out there that are trying to detract and cause us to lose our faith and our trust in God, right? some circumstances would, for some people, it causes them to not even believe in God anymore, because why would God let that happen, right? That's how the deceiver works. That's a strategy of the enemy to get you to doubt and to get you discouraged. That's, he can use that against your emotions, right? So, you know, it says here, use every piece of armor to resist that, right? We have to fight against it. So at the end of the battle, after the battle occurs, guess what happens? You win. You're still standing. Whew. And maybe you're clobbered a little bit. Maybe you got a couple bruises on you. Maybe you're like, whoa, man, that was rough. But you're still standing, right? Firm in the faith of God. All right. Stand your ground. Putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. So far we have the belt of truth. Now, let me kind of backtrack for you just a second. Maybe I'll tell you everything that's going to go on here first. I'll do that part first. Then I'll explain it all. All right. So stand your ground, putting the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Okay, so the clothing. Now, this is obviously, you know, we don't think about battle like this anymore, but for Paul, keep in mind he was in jail, right? He was in prison. Who was guarding him? Romans. They had on all this physical armor that they would wear to guard Paul and the other prisoners. And just so you know, what would happen is they, back in Roman times, as they were in those people that would go to fighting battle, they would wear a tunic and they would have a belt on. And the belt would hold the tunic in place. Because if they had to go into battle, you wanted your clothing to be tight. You think about it in football terms, you know, the jerseys, right? They got to be such that you can't pull on the jersey and pull the guy down, right, when they're trying to be tackled. Same thing is true when you're fighting in a battle, right? You want to make sure your clothing is quite tight to you so you're not having anything flimsy. They can grab you and knock you down. See the point of that? With the point of the belt being holding things in place. You see it with police officers, where they, or people in the military, they wear their belt, right? That's their protection around them, right? What's a belt we wear as Christians? The belt of truth. What's the truth? The truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? What's the truth about what we believe? We believe that God is a God of love and mercy and grace, right? We believe that God loves us, right? You believe that that's the truth? No matter what the enemy tries to tell you, no matter what the when you mess up, the truth is God loves you and God is good, right? No matter what. That's the belt of truth you have to weigh, because listen, the enemy's going to try to lie to you and tell you otherwise. The next time you mess up, what's going to sometimes happen? You're going to say, oh, how stupid was that? That was terrible. And before you go, you're taking a guilt trip. I don't suggest guilt trips, okay? They're not very pleasant. The scenery is not good at all, and it's really dark and dank. So don't get on that ride, okay? Let's not go on a guilt trip, right? How do you not get on a guilt trip? Knowing the truth. The truth is, I'm a human being. Jesus died for me. The truth is, God still loves me no matter what. That's my truth, and you're not going to change it, right? So wear that belt of truth. Important. Okay. The body armor of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? Well, it's not the same as holiness. What righteousness is we have been made right in God's sight. So even though you did mess up, you're still good with God. Got it? You have a good relationship. He never severs the relationship with you ever, no matter what. So if you mess up in the coming year, some of you may. I already have. But anyway, God and I are still good. Right? Because based on what Jesus did, he made me righteous, right? Made me right with God. There was a time when people were separated from God because of their sin. But because of the cross, now we are right with God. So you're always good with God. So far, the truth is we know that God always loves me, and I'm good with God. right? The enemy tries to tell you otherwise, that God doesn't care about you, God doesn't matter to you, you don't matter to God. Tell him the truth. God still loves me, and God's good with me, right? Right. All right. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. What's the good news? The gospel message, that there is forgiveness of sins and there is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. So guess what? Anybody that wants to tell you you're going to hell, what's the truth? I'm so not. I'm so not. Because of what Jesus, the gospel tells me, I've been forgiven by his blood, that he's given me grace and mercy, and therefore I'm on my road. I have my ticket to heaven. Yes, I go. That's where I want to end up, right? We're all going to end up there as believers in Christ, right? And heaven can be on earth as well, can't it? When we don't believe the nonsense and the crap that's out there about who or what we're not, right? All right. And by the way, for shoes, and, you know, it sounds all like, they sound like slippers sometimes when you think about, the, you know, the shoes of peace. I'm walking around my shoes of peace. Okay. If I step on your toes, you're not going to feel it. See, let's look at it this way. It's kind of an interesting thing once you understand in Scripture what really what these shoes are about. The Roman soldiers wore shoes that had nails in the bottom of them that stuck out to grip. When you had to fight the enemy, you and sometimes marching and walking up, they fought on mountains sometimes, or you had to stand your ground and fight somebody else, your feet got, boom, nailed into the ground. Try to push me over. Because I have the gospel of peace, the peace that passes all understanding. You can't knock down my faith. You can't make me stop believing. Even though something comes against me, I'm standing firm on the nails that put Jesus on that cross. Save me. And release me from death and damnation. And I'm going to stand. That brings me peace, doesn't it? Isn't it good to know that no matter what, you have a God who loves you, and because of his sacrifice on the cross, no one can tell you otherwise that you don't belong to God, right? And when the enemy tries to come against you, what do? You plant your feet of peace. Right? Okay, so, so that you'll be fully prepared. See, here's the thing. You have to know the true gospel message. You have to know it and be prepared for when the enemy or anybody tries to question your faith in God or your trust in God or is there a God? When you stand on the truth of what you know and you believe in God made you right and you know and believe and trust that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead and he's a living, breathing, powerful God, right? You're prepared, aren't you, to tell your testimony, aren't you, of why we have a hope, why we're different from other people, that we when we don't fear death. Why? Because we have eternal life, right? Right? And we don't fear what comes against us, do we? Why? Because we have a God who loves us and is there for us, right? And that no matter what comes against us, God is always for us, right? As Romans tells us. It says, in every battle you will need faith as your shield. Every battle you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Now let me tell you what a shield looked like. Some of us think about, you know, I forget what star is, or that Captain America. Thank you. All right. It's okay to know those kind of, you know, characters as well as, you know, the Bible characters. That's good. So anyway, but you think about that small shield, right? You hold it up, right? Like this, you know, remember when you were a kid, maybe I did it when I was a kid, we had the garbage, remember the metal garbage cans? Remember those? You totally remember those, right? I mean, we kids, we could play with anything, can't we? Like, who needs all these fancy toys that you can buy today? You got a good, perfectly good garbage can cover, right? You got a shield, right? And you get a stick and pull off a tree, right? put up the shield of faith. Boom, bah, bah. Zing, 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 right? So, but you think of it in that way. But see, if you had one arrow coming at you, and this was during warfare times, during Paul's life, they would light up arrows, and they would, you know, put pitch on it and set it on fire and try to kill people through with those arrows, right? And cause fires, even in their camp, right? So they're not exactly like teeny tiny little arrows coming at you. So this shield isn't exactly like bing, bong, bong kind of thing, you know, even though you see it on cartoons. That's not the kind of shield that we're talking about here. This shield was actually a full body shield, so tall that you could actually stand behind it. It was heavy. In fact, they used to have an armor bearer would have to carry it into battle to protect those going into battle. So it was full size. So if you were 6 foot tall, you had a 6 foot tall shield. You see how big your faith has to be protected? These arrows are not going to be like little bing, bing, bing kind of arrows coming at us sometimes, are they? I mean, some of us have been hit by 2x4s in our life, have we not? Like major bung. Some of the headers they hold up buildings with, some of us feel as though we got clobbered with those. So the shield of faith that we hold up is not small. It has to be large. And you know what the soldiers would often do when the army was coming against them? The whole army's coming. Remember, the Israelites didn't always have the numbers of people that the armies were against them. There'd be thousands and thousands of the enemy coming against maybe a handful of Israelites, right? What would those people have to do? They would stand together, shield by shield by shield by shield. And so you'd have this whole wall of protection. You see why we have a church now? So that look at how many people are in here, right? Now, stand up for me a second, right? We promise you we make you stand up. Now, just get close to each other. I'm right next to each other. I'm talking about right next to. Come on. Get next. No, we can't have any gaps. We got a gap here. Now, well, hold on a second. You stay here, Pastor, just for 1 second. I want to make a point while I'm doing this, while I'm at it. Sorry. Thank you, please. Here's the thing, right? See, the strongest line is probably right here. Because all, right, or no, you're not, you're connected. Wait, no. Because see, here's what happens. If I'm the enemy and I'm coming at this person right here, right? She's got no protection on this side. Right? You see why we have to stand together in a line together, right? Can't be any gaps so that you're protected on all sides. You understand? See, her faith might waver. Your faith might waver. But see, when we get everybody all pulled together, what happens? We multiply our faith together. Right? There we go. Beautiful. Oh, man. I notice I'm not getting anybody over here now anymore. Because see, if I try to attack her, who's it? Oh, I'm not going to go near that person trying to. You see why it's so important? That we take together, put our shields of faith together as a church body, right? That's why we stick together, right? All right, you may be seated. Now, and it says, so we understand how the enemy is going to throw darts, right? So listen, if you've been attacked by the enemy and you're alone, right? Because very often when he attacks, it's not when you're all in a group together, right? Satan ain't going to attack us in here. I mean, big time. Come on. With all of us, with our faith, man, he'd be like so in trouble, right? But it's when you're alone sometimes because you got your shield of faith, right? So you see the importance of why prayer, right? Why he ends in his words here, he says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So sometimes you're going to need to call out for prayer, because if you're being attacked, and many of you, you know, think, well, I can handle this on my own, because I got my shield of faith, I got my belt of truth, right? And you may feel strong in that moment, but sometimes the attack gets greater, doesn't it? Right? Thus the need to call on other brothers and sisters to say, pray for me. You don't even have to say what it is sometimes. You could just say, hey, I'm under attack. And I need your shield of faith. I need you beside me. And we need to line up together and be protective for each other, right? We watch each other's back, right? Yes, we do. It says, put on the salvation as your helmet. Salvation. as your helmet. There was a winter hat in here earlier. Yes, I see it right there. So, see how God brought, right? And I see another hat. But see, what's the most important part, other than our heart, which is what the breastplate does to protect us, right? The breastplate that we have over us, and covers our heart, protects it, right? We also need to protect what? Especially our mind. Our mind. And it says, put on the helmet of salvation. Well, what's the salvation? Well, we know that we've been saved by grace, right? And so we believe in that, we trust in that. So when the enemy starts to cause you to doubt where in your mind, that might mean your helmet's a little crooked there. It's kind of slipped. Or maybe it flopped off some way. So we want to put back on and remind ourselves, wait a minute, I have salvation in God. I've been saved by grace. And even though the enemy is trying to tell me otherwise, that I'm just a loser, I messed up again, I'm worthless, all those things that the enemy tries to work through where? Our mind. He can only work through our thoughts, right? But no, he can't. You know what the helmet of salvation that he's referring to is? You know how heavy this thing was? I mean, it was thick leather, and on top of that was, they would bang and put gold down top and steel on top of it. Talk about having to carry, you gotta have a strong neck. But that's how thick our protection is from the enemy getting into our thought life. Do you understand that? All right, beautiful. Now, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, so we're got all the armor on yet. If you follow me so far, what we're wearing. Okay, so we've got the belt of truth, very good. The breastplate of God's righteousness. I'm right with God. We've got our shoes a piece with nails in them to stomp on the devil. Our shield of faith, right? That we stand behind at all times. Helmet of salvation. And now we're going to take on Satan's sword. And this, you know, this, there are different kind of swords, by the way, that they would fight with. But the sword that this is referring to is a really small, probably 12-inch long. Not the great big long one they get. I know, sorry. Okay. Oh, sorry. That's the way war was back then. So sorry. Man. See, very often the Romans would have to fight, and so did the Israelites, hand-to-hand combat. One-on-one. Close up. Impersonal. So that sword. And remember when Jesus was in the desert, before he went about his ministry, where was he? In the desert. What was he fighting Satan with? The Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, the more you can defeat Satan and his lies. You can. When he tries to take you on, and how he might come at you with the darts, try to throw stuff at you and scare you, tries to tell you what you're not or whatever the case might be. He might throw life circumstances at you and try to get you to be doubtful or discouraged, whatever those things might be. When that happens and you put up your shield of faith and you get all the believers to pray with you, and then it goes, then you defeat the enemy, right? But sometimes it's one-on-one combat, isn't it? Sometimes it's just you and the enemy. Usually in the middle of the night when you wake up and you start thinking about some things, right? And your mind starts a-going, doesn't it? Right? When you're alone with just you and your thoughts, and the enemy goes, ha, ha, ha. Well, they took off that belt of truth and set it by the nightstand. They don't think they're so right with God. They don't have that armor on tonight. They got their jammies. And I don't see any spiked shoes, so they're not going to be able to stand against me. And then he attacks, and he says, did God really say? Are you sure, so sure about the fact that God loved? I seem to think there was something there about going to hell. Don't, you know, and you messed up one too many times. I think it's only 70 times 7. 490 times is the most you could be forgiven. 70 times 7, that's it. And you know, why would God bless you anyway? You know what you did today. And you know what? If you would just forget about church tomorrow morning, it's going to be too cold to go. And you know those long sermons, you just get like, oh man, I can't sit any longer, these chairs. And wouldn't it be just, hit the snooze alarm. Confession's good for the soul. But when you know the word of God and when you say, wait a minute, neither height nor depth, nor principalities, above or below the angels, nothing can ever separate me from God's love. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, even wake up in the morning and go to church. And it says that hearing of the word of God is the only way that I can fight you, Satan. So I'm going to go hear the word of God spelled out to me. So, and by the way, get behind me, Satan. Oh, yeah, right. I remember that scripture. So, the word of God. It's why we have Bible study. It's why we ask you and when we put out scriptures out there sometimes for you. But it's more important for you to know the scriptures. You to know the word of God, right? Because that's how you fight off the devil. But it also says in verse 18, stay alert, be persistent in your prayers. So when you give the word of God to Satan, then you stop and pray, Lord Jesus, help me. Help our church. Help the people that feel tired and worn out today. Pray for them, God, so that they can find their way to hear the word of God. So in closing, it's very simple. You have this clothing you would think would be removable, right? Right? You would think that the Roman soldiers would, you know, go home, take off their belt of truth, take off the helmets, too heavy. Take off their shoes. Oh, my feet feel so much better. Take off this big breastplate and put my shield of faith aside because I won't be needing it. In the Word, it actually has, as Paul puts it, he says, in the actual literal, it says, put on all God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies. So put on God's armor, but it's not like you put it on and take it off. It means put it on and keep it on. See, you can't leave here today. I mean, for those of you that are frozen solid from this morning, I was 37 degrees. Now, it's about 22 out there right now. You're going to take off your warm hat, your gloves? You're going to take off your jacket? Why? Because you're afraid of going out and getting cold again, right? Listen, we have an enemy in the spiritual realm. We cannot leave our lives or moments of any given day without some of our stuff left behind. I mean, who would think in this room to leave their mobile phone home? Is there anybody? Oh, you did. And what? Oh, you did. On purpose or by accident? Oh, by accident. And like, are you like not thinking about it like over and over and over and over and over? Where's my phone? Where'd I put my phone? Would you even dream of leaving home without it? We got like yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I mean, we had to pry it out of Noah's hands this morning, that little tablet. That's not a good example. I guess what I'm trying to say is don't not go through this life in this coming year without all of those pieces of armor on you at all times, right? Because every time the enemy's going to try to bait you, suggest things to you, belittle you, tempt you to do something, and if you go down that route, what's going to happen? We're going to see that you're getting closer to the cliff. Here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. And we may very well ask you, hey, where's your belt of truth? When you start to put yourself down, that's a lie. Whenever you call yourself other than you are a child of God, made in his image, a beautiful masterpiece, when you ever dare call yourself stupid or foolish or any of those other derogatory terms, you are not speaking the truth. So I want you to just tighten your belt. And remember, I am a child of God. And the truth is, no matter what or no matter where, he loves me no matter where or what I do, right? Okay, so, ready to be dressed for success this morning? What are you going to wear, church? We have got to stand firm, no matter what comes our way, as a church or you personally. We're going to stand on the truth, right, of who God is and who we are in Christ. Nothing is impossible for God, right? We will change and we will grow, and we will take on the enemy, right? We're going into battle because we have an enemy to defeat who's trying to defeat us. And we already won, right? But we have to be prepared, fully armed. The Word of God, praying at all times. The belt of truth, the breastplate of I'm right with God. The helmet of salvation that no one can take from me, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right here. Open it, read it, memorize it. Pick one scripture for yourself this coming year, if that's all you want to throw at Satan from time to time. If you need a scripture to fight the enemy back, we have plenty of pastors in this place who can give you scriptures, right? To say that applies to your life right then and there. Know the Word of God, and we will be praying for you at all times, continuously, so we can stand firm together, that after the battle is over, when we get to the end of 2017, and there may very well be some battles that come our way, right? But when we get to the end, what's going to happen? We're still standing, right? We've been standing here for 23 years, just in case you didn't know. Had some battles come our way, and guess what? We're still standing. Amen?